In October 1939, as Nazi forces tighten their grip on Europe, 19-year-old Josef Kavalier orchestrates a breathtaking escape from Prague hidden inside a coffin alongside the legendary Gollum of Jewish folklore. This daring feat, worthy of his hero Houdini, marks the beginning of an odyssey that will transform American popular culture. Arriving rain-soaked at his cousin Sammy Clay's Brooklyn apartment, Joe finds an unexpected kindred spirit. Despite legs weakened by childhood polio, 17-year-old Sammy possesses boundless creative ambition and dreams of becoming a novelist. Within hours of meeting, these two young Jewish men recognize in each other the missing pieces of their creative aspirations. Joe's European artistic sophistication perfectly complementing Sammy's gift for plotting and dialogue. Their partnership crystallizes in a moment of revelation on a fire escape, where Sammy experiences what he calls the pang of creation. Not mere envy of Joe's acrobatic prowess, but a visceral understanding of how to transform those qualities into heroic narrative. This spark ignites just as Superman's debut revolutionizes the comic book industry, creating unprecedented demand for costumed heroes. With perfect timing and raw talent, they approach Sheldon Annapole at Empire Novelty Company, who reluctantly agrees to back their venture into this emerging medium. After an all-night conversation through New York City, Kavalier and Clay create the escapist, Tom Mayflower, a lame boy who inherits magical powers from his escape artist uncle. Wearing a golden key emblem, he can break any bond and free anyone, reflecting Joe's desperate wish to rescue his family from Nazi-occupied Prague. Sammy's psychological insight gives their hero compelling motivation. Unlike heroes who fight crime because it's right, the escapist has purpose to free the bound and oppressed. The escapist battles the Iron Chain, a clear fascism allegory. Joe channels his anxieties into violent artwork, making the comic his proxy war against Hitler. For Sammy, concealing his homosexuality in an intolerant era, the character represents freedom from social constraints. Their collaboration exemplifies the fusion of old-world artistry with new-world commercial energy that defined the golden age of comics, a uniquely American art form largely created by Jewish immigrants and their children. By 1941, Kavalier and Clay achieve remarkable success, selling over 1 million comics monthly. Joe produces 200 pages monthly, while Sammy enjoys expensive suits, baseball box seats, and his prized Cape Heart Panamuse phonograph. Yet exploitation underlies their success. Despite generating $12 to $15 million annually for Empire Comics, they earn only $59,832.27 in 1941, substantial but a fraction of their creation's value. When Parnassus Pictures buys the escapists' film rights, they discover they've unwittingly signed these rights away, mirroring Superman's creators who sold their character for just $130. Another blow comes when Parnassus forbids featuring Nazis in their comics to protect German market interests, striking at Joe's core motivation to fight for his family. Ironically, this restriction sparks an artistic renaissance. Without Nazi villains, they reinvent their approach, shifting from superhero battles to stories about ordinary people. Works like Kane Street, which follows a handgun through Empire City, anticipate comics' evolution from children's entertainment to sophisticated literary form. As their careers flourish, Kavalier and Clay face personal complications. Joe falls for Rosa Saks, a bohemian artist, and their relationship blossoms while he performs magic at Jewish bar mitzvahs and creates Luna Moth, a dreamlike comic inspired by her. Sammy struggles with his homosexuality in an intolerant era. His relationship with Tracy Bacon, the escapist's radio actor, culminates in a night at the abandoned World's Fair, where they make love inside the Perisphere's model city, symbolizing both possibility and impossibility for their love in 1941 America. When Joe's brother, Thomas, dies on a German-sunk refugee ship and Pearl Harbor is attacked, Joe enlists without knowing Rosa is pregnant. After police raid a gay retreat, Sammy abandons plans to follow Tracy to Hollywood and instead marries Rosa, adopting Joe's son. This arrangement, built on grief, necessity, and genuine affection, creates a complex family that will face challenges when Joe eventually returns. After his brother's refugee ship sinks, Joe joins the Navy but is exiled to a remote Antarctic station called Kelvinator. When a stove malfunction kills everyone except Joe and the pilot Shannon House, they spiral into winter madness intensified by isolation and grief. Joe monitors radio transmissions and tracks the war, intercepting a Nazi broadcast featuring his grandfather singing from Theresienstadt Model Ghetto. His initial joy turns to suspicion that the cheerful portrayal masks a terrible truth, an intuition history would confirm. Joe and Shannon House attempt to fly to a nearby Nazi scientific station. Before leaving, Joe reads Rose's letters, learning she married Sammy and had Joe's son, named Thomas, after Joe's brother. Their aircraft crashes, and Joe confronts the lone German scientist, who wounds him before being mortally injured. In a final irony, Joe tries to save the dying German, dragging his body through snow before realizing he's already dead, a futile act of compassion marking Joe's growth beyond revenge. 12 years after vanishing, Joe resurfaces in New York, living secretly in the Empire State Building while creating a graphic novel. He bonds with Tommy Rosa and Sammy's son, becoming the boy's covert magic teacher. Tommy, unaware of Joe's identity, calls him Secret Man and skips school for their meetings. When Tommy threatens to jump as the escapist to help Joe find his way home, the deception unravels. Joe attempts the jump using a makeshift bungee cord, surviving with injuries but reuniting the three adults. At dinner, Sammy confronts him. "Christ, Joe, you fucking idiot! We love you!" Their reunion coincides with industry turmoil. Dr. Wortham's seduction of the innocent prompts Senate hearings, where Sammy faces humiliation over alleged homosexual subtext in his comics. Despite Joe purchasing Empire Comics for their collaboration, Sammy leaves for California. The ending avoids neat resolution. Joe and Rosa eventually marry after decades apart. Sammy builds a television writing career while maintaining family ties. Tommy becomes a professional magician, suggesting that while perfect escape remains impossible, partial liberation through art, love, and honesty is achievable. Throughout the novel, escape artistry functions as both practice and metaphor. Kornblum teaches Joe that the only true escape is to free oneself from the chains of reality, suggesting mental constraints are harder to break than physical ones. Comics serve as another form of escape. Joe values how they melted the icy ball of grief. That was magic, the genuine magic of art. Comics offer liberation from suffering, not mere distraction. The novel celebrates imagination's power to transform suffering into meaning. Through comics, Joe and Sammy convert personal trauma into universal stories. Rose's painting of Joe in chains with a heart-shaped lock while she sits on his shoulder holding a golden key creates a prophetic metaphor for their relationship. Ultimately, imagination offers deeper engagement with reality, not escape from it. Their creative work reimagines reality, presenting alternatives that might reshape the world. Comics explore themes of identity, justice, and liberation, transforming experience into narratives that reveal otherwise invisible patterns and possibilities.